Absolute Rally with Tony Simpson and Ryan Champion.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Absolute Rally podcast. Thank you for downloading us once again. I hope you enjoyed last week's programme with Julian Porter, which was just great fun to have an extended chat with Julesy and get his thoughts and views on stuff, and obviously right, rumours and everything else. And I suppose since then the big news that's come out is with regards to M Sports driver lineup. No big surprises with Mads being confirmed as returning there, I suppose, well, without goes without saying really, as a number one driver. I suppose the big surprise was the omittance of Elvin Evans, although we knew he was under pressure. The new signing, which is Eric Kamali, which is a few people have expressed a few different thoughts on social media, whether it's obviously financial with regards to the FSA support which Eric receives, who knows, but you know, Malcolm Wilson's got a great eye for finding talent, and he seems to think that Eric Kamali could go all the way, so it'll be interesting to see how he goes. Testing starts for the M Sport boys and girls pretty much today. As this podcast drops, you will find that the guys are over already getting ready for Monte Carlo, so no rest for these WRC teams. So it's one of those days where obviously Elvin Evans and Tanak's already been confirmed in the almost, I suppose, like a B team situation with the DMAC Drive WRC team, which I believe will be run by the M Sport outfit as well. So it's almost like a B team, if you like, for M Sport. But there's still another seat to be claimed there. Whether Elvin ends up there, whether he ends up in an R5 car. Obviously M Sport are heavily developing and played most of the jokers now for their R5 car to try and get it on par with the Skoda R5 car, so it'll be interesting what happens over the course of the next 12 months. Obviously in 12 months time we are going to have Toyota, hopefully we'll have Citroen back as well, and the driver lineups will be deemed more by, I suppose, than ability than what finances can be bought. But obviously, as we know, the M Sport situation is one of a commercial situation, and drivers do have to bring budget to some degree. But fair play to Malcolm Wilson, certainly over the last 24 months, you know, he's put a lot into Elvin and he's put a lot into Oit, and maybe he needs a little bit back now. But we wish M Sport the very, very best of luck, and as I say, those guys start testing today, and we'll see what goes. But listen, without further ado, I'm whittering on as ever, but an action-packed Absolute Rally for you. We're going to be joined shortly by Ian Campbell, who got in contact with us because he's a friend of the show. Ian Campbell, of course, the championship manager for the new MSA British Rally Championship, and there's some big announcements, and which you may have read in the press today if you've already got the UK press today, and if you haven't, then sit back, relax, listen to Ian Campbell, what the changes have been made from the last press release that went out from the MSA and the organising team behind it, and also from the last time he was a guest on the programme. So Ryan and myself got very excited. We got Ian Campbell on the phone and said, right, Ian Campbell, welcome back to Absolute Rally. What's going on?
Good evening, Ryan. I'm sure that you're not standing looking out the window at snow on the ground.
No, you're right, there isn't actually. I'm looking out the window across to Palm Island and I definitely can't see any snow, you're right.
Okay, great to speak to you, Ryan. Right.
Well, the reason why we're all together at this point is because today is the day before Wednesday, which is when Absolute Rally always goes out. But there is a massive story with regards to the British Rally Championship tomorrow. And we thought, well, let's get Ian on and get him to tell us all about it. So, Ian, the floor is yours. Tell us about the big news in the British Rally Championship.
Yeah, I mean, back in June we announced our calendar, and we've had a couple of changes from that, and what it means is that we're now back to the full seven round series that we said we would run in 2016. We're still got Mid Wales starting everything off in March. Still got the Circuit of Ireland, which is going to put us up against the European Rally Championship competitors, which will be a great head-to-head to find out just who's on the pace and what needs to be done to lift anybody's game from there. the Challenger Kielder next with the Pirelli. And then the Scottish is going to be a bit different. It's going to be a one-day event, 8 special stages, but 65 miles. So that's a big, big day, a big challenge, and to go through the likes of A and Castlelower and Twicklings and these sort of iconic stages that they have in Dumfries. And then with the first change to our calendar, we're going to be going back to Wales. We're going to be joining the BTRDA guys of the Nicky Griff stages at both Wales, which I think will be a fabulous day on the Saturday of 45 miles on gravel, which will probably take in the likes of Halfway and Crichton and these sort of stages, which I know from Rally GB days, and they've really great tests from there. But the thing that's different, and the bit that really appeals to me, is that on the Sunday, we're going to Epping. We're going to be on the asphalt there. So we've got a mixed surface event. First time since, I think, 1987. But I'm sure Ryan will tell me whether I'm right or wrong on that one. And I think it will end up, it's going to be like a mini Welsh international round that we used to have, where you'd have the gravel tests and then on to the Epping stages. So I think that's something that's going to be really, really good to watch. Some of the crews that I've spoken to are looking forward to. They'll get sufficient service time on Saturday night to be able to change over the suspension and such like for setting themselves up for Sunday. After that, we go to the Ulster Rally, which I was actually over seeing the organisers there on Monday night, just at their meeting. They've got a lot of really, really good ideas for next year, and some really exciting things that they're working extremely hard on to try and make happen. And as they come off, it'll be quite some event altogether. Again, they're looking at sort of Friday night, Saturday. I think it was 16 stages that they're looking at for there. Then the next change to our calendar, which is one that I know that you didn't give us a hard time, but you did poke and prod us and tell us that we made a mistake. We're going to the Isle of Man for the last round, Rally Isle of Man. So that will be a double pointer. And I mean, Rally Isle of Man has got such tradition with the British Rally Championship. It's been there and been one of the linchpins for so long. So it's good to be going back to these stages. They're talking about 23 stages and 160 miles. So we know the kind of challenge that they've got over there. Although I don't think you've actually ever seen the finish line, have you, Tony?
That's a low blow, that, eh? I have seen the finish line. No, actually, now you come to mention it, no, I haven't actually seen the finish line. No,
you're right, it was a low blow, so I thought.
It's ironic that the one event out of all the ones that you've listed there is the one that I've probably never finished in all the times I've tried it. But Ryan and I did poke and prod you over that one, and perhaps that's you returning a sucker punch. I'm not too sure, but I know Ryan is I know he's a happy bunny anyway, sat in Dubai at the moment. But certainly the return of the Manx Rally, great call, isn't it?
Like Ian just said, it's for me, it's a round of the British Championship that is pretty much iconic, and it has always featured as a tough round of the British Championship, a round at the end of the Championship, a round that's had so many stories about it. And I think it's great to see it back. And also, I mean, Ian, there's quite an influence in the calendar of the classic British Championship rallies of years gone by. Is that coincidence, or is there some is there some reasoning behind that?
I'd love to tell you there's a great strategic reasoning as well that was in there. Well, there is as well, because that we know the level of organisation that we're getting from these rounds. We know the standards that they have. We know the ambitions that these events have, and we also know that they're events that the competitors want to do. But as were the two events that have been replaced in the 2016 calendar, the Granite City Rally has got a new organising team for 2016. So it was just it was a bit much for the event to step straight up to BRC level, from starting afresh, if you like, with a new team. And then with everything still ongoing with in regards to the police inquiry with the Jim Clark Rally, they couldn't secure the road closure. And so they're going back to gravel, and we really do hope that 2017 they will be back on to close public roads from there. But and as you say, the rallies we've got have got a lot of heritage on them. And when you start to go through the British Rally Championship, which was started in 1958, we've had five British Rally Champions have become World Rally Champions. And when you go through the roll call of people who have come to these islands, maybe not become champion, but have gone on to star in the World Rally Championship and such like from there, it's got a huge amount of heritage. And I think that's something that we should be immensely proud of, and something that we should play on as well. And hopefully by the calendar that we're announcing, that's something that will attract more competitors for next year.
Does that responsibility lay heavy at the moment, eh? Because it's the first time back, you know. I know you've had a bit of a hard time over events, ironically, you know, not just from us, we've had a little bit of fun with you, but, you know, the calendar was announced, and then obviously you guys then go away and do Wales Rally GB, and then everybody who's not doing Wales Rally GB is kind of sat there scratching their head wondering what's going to happen. Does that add to the responsibility? All those things you've just said must surely lay heavy.
Very much so. And meeting the organising teams, I've been on a wee BRC tour over the last sort of month, 6 weeks in between Rally GB as well. And you go and you meet the organising guys and the amount of work and effort that they're putting into it. And they look at me and they ask me, so what are you bringing? And, you know, we really don't know, because we are starting with a clean sheet of paper. We haven't had anything in 2015. Excuse me. We look to have a really exciting championship coming, but until we get to the 5th of March, we really don't know. So there is pressure from that, there really is, and it is weighing heavy like that on the shoulders, but that's a good thing, because it means that you get your head down and you get stuck into it and you get going from there. And you have said, you know, that we've lost some time with Wales Rally GB because it's the same promoter that does that. And yeah, we had you know, a busy time on Rally GB, but work has been ongoing. And whilst you might not see it as of today, now that your podcast is out, the new championship website is launched at msabrc.com, and that will have the regulations on there. That will have news on all the events. You know, one of the important things that competitors need to know is roughly how many stages are they going to be doing. What's the overall stage mileage is going to be on each of these events? What's the date? So are we starting on a Friday, finishing on a Saturday? Are we starting on a Saturday, finishing on Sunday? When do I need to get my accommodation sorted? So they can go and get their programmes organised, get their budgets set aside from there. Some of that information has been out already. I've certainly, and also had a lot of phone calls and emails on it. So it has been there, but it's now definitive. This is what we're doing. This is where we are. And we've got 91 days till the first round starts, something like that.
Have you got a rally kind of equivalent of an advent calendar for that? Have you got 91 little doors that you open?
I really like the new website. It's very, very smart. I hate the counter that's at the top right hand corner.
I know. As I say, Ryan's sunning himself and everything else, but we spoke very, very briefly before we brought you on, and unfortunately, neither Ryan nor myself have managed to secure back into to bring in an absolute rally two car team. Unless after your heroics on the historic Safari Rally, right, you're going to bring me some good news.
I would like to say yes, but the phone hasn't rung on that one just yet.
No, but with regards to teams, Ian, just briefly, you know, obviously the DMAC guys announced very, very early on they were going to have a two-car team, and there's a couple of other, you know, I think there's a young kid, Reece Yates, who took delivery of an R5 car. He was at the promotional day. I think Ollie Mellors is definitely going to be with the Sort Proton Super 2000. You know, who else, you know, I noticed one surprise I did see the other day was David Bogie's car for sale. Does that bode for him not perhaps going BRC, or is he just after some new machinery, you know?
I think he's after some new machinery, and from there we've got, you know, Max Vatanen with the DMAC Fiesta and the R5, and there is the other DMAC Fiesta car, which is the driver is still to be announced. So maybe the two of you could throw your name into that hat from there. Reece Yates is coming out. He's stepping up from his Fiesta R2 to his R5, because he's the MSC English Gravel Champion for 15. We the talk that the Moffat's brothers, George and Sam, are going to be doing a joint campaign between the Irish Tarmac Championship and the British Rally Championship. We haven't decided what vehicles they're looking at yet. I think they're sort of tying up what is best in the marketplace for the R5s. We've been speaking with Neil Simpson, with the Skoda Fabia R5, which would be great to get Neil back out onto to the UK stages. Johnny Greer's looking at what you can do between a joint campaign between Ireland and Britain. There seems to be a lot of people looking at certainly starting both championships. Alex Lafferty's got a car there. Tom Cave has announced that he's got a budget to certainly do so many rounds, and is trying to pull that together from each one. And there's quite a few other names that are going about, and Ewan Thorburn, I just wouldn't like to play cards against that guy at all, because he just gives nothing away every time I speak to him. So I've got no idea what he's doing, but I would expect to see him on the stages. I really hope to see him on the stages next year, but he's certainly not telling us. He's keeping things very close to his chest. So there's a good strong top 10, top 12 of our five cars, Super 2000 cars, already. The registrations that have been coming in through the holding page that we've got for the website have been very, very strong in inquiries and people registering interest. And a lot coming through on the junior BRC. And on the 9th of December, we've got a big announcement coming out on junior BRC to tell people more about what that championship is going to be about, but also what the prize is going to be for 2017. And that one, I think, will really just get people going and start to see that that's the championship they want to be heading for. As long as you're under 26, of course.
Ah, well, that's you and me, right?
Absolutely. That's us out, yeah.
Just one last thing before I let you go, because I know you're against the clock a little bit. You don't want a late arrival for picking up your kids. You don't want that penalty from your missus. With regards to one thing that was levelled at, obviously, previously the BRC, it became a bit of a DS3 championship. Now, obviously, there was a DS3 championship. It was very tongue-in-cheek when the BRC was called that. Are the guys going to try and get something going again with the DS3s? Because obviously, there's still a fair amount of those as well.
Raymond Moore, who did a lot with Citroën Racing previously with the DRC, has been working away with Citroën Racing in France to get a programme together on that. I don't know how that's been affected with Citroën's announcement that they're sort of holding back in 2016 to develop the new car for 17, and I believe there's a new DS3 coming out in 17 as well. So what support is available from there, I don't know. But there's the DS3 class. There's also, we've had the newest homologation car for that is the Toyota GT86. From there, and there's been certainly some noises coming about that car. From there, and I suppose the other danger is that you could have with the R5 cars is that M-Sport have done such a fantastic job in selling so many Fiestas. You could turn around and say, well, you've gone from a DS3 championship to a Fiesta championship, but that's where we've got a lot more interest coming in with Skoda and with Citroën and the BRC1 class as well. So we're going to have quality, quantity and a mixture of brands.
See, I'm going to get confused by the BRC1 class because I'm thinking R1 there. As soon as you said BRC1, I was thinking, hang on, that's R1, but it's not, it's R5. So I need to get my head around that.
Your R5 car in the World Rally Championship is a WRC2. I know exactly what you're saying, Tony.
You're throwing numbers at me again, aren't you? You're throwing numbers at me again. Listen, before we let you go, right, have you got anything else you want to round off this lovely catch-up with Mr. Campbell?
No, I mean, it's nice to obviously hear of the plans and hear about the excitement for the championship going forward. I mean, we've talked about it at length. We want to see the championship succeed. And as Ian touched on already, we've seen world champions come through the British Championship, and hopefully that'll be again the case in the future. We need the British Championship as a stepping stone to the World Championship, and let's hope that 2016 sees the success of the BRC and sees it as a stepping stone once again.
Absolutely. Listen, Ian, thank you so much for joining us, and listen, we'll catch up. Hopefully we'll at least speak before Autosport, but if not, we'll have that coffee at Autosport and a catch up then.
Fantastic. Sounds fantastic. Thank you for the opportunity for this, guys. And we'll come and we'll break the news of the Junior BRC campaign and prize to you in the next few days.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant. Thanks, Ian.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Take care. Cheers. See you soon. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Absolute Rally with Tony Simpson and Ryan Champion. Every Wednesday, 8 till 9pm UK time. All the latest news, views and gossip from the world of rally. Interviews with the biggest names, plus the best comment and insight from people who know their sh**. Find us on Twitter at @absolute_rally and join the debate. Absolute Rally, every Wednesday, 8 till 9pm UK time. Online at absoluterally.com. Absolute Rally.
So, I'm quite excited by that, right, to be honest with you. I don't know whether it's because the Manx has been included now in the BRC, but I'm genuinely quite excited now about the BRC. And I'm not saying I wasn't before. I kind of was, because it was good to bring it back, but it feels like the BRC again.
Yeah, it definitely does. As I just said, you know, about the events that are included, you've got so much history around most of those events. I mean, admittedly, the Nicky Grist is obviously a new event. The Championship, the Mid Wales is a new event, but the stages aren't. You know, the stages in both those rallies have formed the backbone to some previous BRC events. So, you know, a lot of it's tried and tested. Classic rallies, classic terrain. Let's hope the interest gets behind the Championship and it gets that excitement going again. So yeah, I'd agree. I think things are all going in the right direction. I think at this point Ian's done as much as he can. The rest now relies on competitors finding budgets, doesn't it? And unfortunately, we're not in the days where manufacturers are backing programs in the UK anymore. So it does rely on really drivers finding a budget independently. And you know, let's hope that the BRC can build some momentum, get enough publicity that allows the drivers to give their backers some value out of it.
Well, speaking of drivers having to find budgets and things, we are now obviously the days following the announcement of M Sports driver lineup, which I think one driver was definitely we probably seen coming about this time last year. I'd say that tongue in cheek, obviously, but I think that was a nailed on one that Mads was going to go back to M Sport. But his teammate was certainly up for debate, and I didn't see that one.
No, so Eric Camilli confirmed in the team for 2016. No, you're right. I mean, I didn't necessarily see that one or hear it coming. He's been part of the TMG driver development program for the last year, so he's obviously reasonably well connected. He's got people working away behind the scenes for him, and you know, helping him to get these opportunities, I'm sure, because you know, these things need a little bit of coercion behind the scenes, and you know, he seems to have got himself in a good position now. Driver. I don't know an awful lot about. I've seen his name in WRC2 a little bit. You know, I've heard him talked about a little bit, but it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, it's a big step up for him into a full program in a World Rally Car.
Well, I think there's definitely support from the FFSA, obviously the French Federation, who do put obviously funding into the young French driver programs. Obviously, I think it's seen both with Ogier and with Loeb and a couple of other guys as well who kind of do European Championship stuff. So you know, it's obvious, but there seems to be definitely an element of finance involved, because you know, one thing I was shocked to learn is that he's never drove a wheel car competitively before.
Yeah, and like I just said, you know, it is a huge step up, not only in terms of the rivals he's up against, but also in terms of the car itself. So he's you know, he's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders. He's going to have to try and perform in a difficult environment. But you know, we'll just give him time and see what happens. It's one of those situations, isn't it? He's going to have the equipment. He's going to have the opportunity, and it's probably going to be sink or swim, unfortunately. But he could thrive in that environment. Let's see what happens. But I guess the realities are that as we know, M Sport are really a private team. They have to find finance to run the cars, and you know, that finance has got to be the bottom line at the end of the day. So whilst we'd maybe all like to see Alvin Evans in the car, it just doesn't look like it's going to happen.
I think, you know, from a very parochial point of view, as us as Brits, obviously, we were a little spoiled. The fact that we had Chris and we had Elvin, obviously, at the start of this season. Now we don't have anybody. And you just, you know, I genuinely felt we were starting to get a bit of momentum going again in this country for rallying and certainly WRC. And, you know, I suppose the knock-on effect is we've just been talking about the new BRC coming back. I just hope that, you know, there's something else there. You know, we mentioned last week, of course, for Chris, and perhaps a limited program with testing to come back in 2017 with Citroen. You know, there's been, you know, certainly in the press release that was put out by M Sport with regards to the announcements of the driver lineup, they were hoping to find something to do for Elvin. I just wonder whether Elvin's going to get that inverted commas factory R5 car that they were talking about putting out there. You know, they were very, very keen to get an R5, a proper run R5 car, if you like, and that's no disrespect to the people who've been running them, but certainly the newer spec R5 car, perhaps with a professional driver in. I think I read that somewhere. And whether, you know, it might have to be that backward step for Elvin for him to continue with the programme.
I mean, it'd obviously be good if at least he could keep some momentum by doing something like that. But like you said, from a British point of view, it is quite a blow. We certainly haven't seen the last of Chris Meek in the WRC. We haven't seen the last of Chris Meek fighting for wins at the front of the sport. I'm sure Chris will be back. But as for 2016, then yeah, you can't help but think it is harming a little bit of the momentum that's been built for British drivers again. We need drivers competing at the front to get that interest, to get the business interest, to get the backing. It is a bit of a difficult year, I think it's going to be for the sport. At WRC level, from a British point of view anyway, but let's hope both those guys can put something together and not drop off the radar.
Yeah, hopefully. Now, we've flippantly said while we were talking to Ian Campbell that you're sunning yourself into the evening time. You're in Dubai, having a well-earned rest after a very busy Wales Rally GB at Car Zero, and then I don't know what number car you were on the safari, but you were a car that was, well, was it sixth overall or seventh overall in the end?
Yeah, we finished eighth in the end.
I was close.
But I have to say I was quite happy with that after last time we spoke, we just had the distributor failure, which cost us a lot of time, and we dropped down to 17th, but managed to have a pretty good run over the last few days. I mean, we were generally in the sort of top three, top four stage times. Whenever we had a clear run, we were fastest over the last day, and managed to get back up to eighth. So I have to say I was pleased with that. It isn't the maybe top four position we looked like we could get at one point, but I had a fantastic rally nonetheless, amazing stages, great competition as well, a lot of tough competition from the Kenyan drivers, as well as the likes of obviously the Stig Blomqvist, Gregoire de Mervius, Bernard Munster, Richard Goransson, the Swedish touring car star as well. So, you know, real strength of competition there, and an all-round tough rally. I mean, the last stage of the rally was 105 kilometres, so something like 65 miles, and it was very rough in places. So even the last stage of the rally, you know, was a real test, and it very much keeps a lot of the character of the original safari, and it really feels like a huge achievement to get to the end.
Well, you got to the end, and you got your was it rhinos?
Yes, yeah, got a rhino this year, yeah. So to add to the elephant that managed to get 2 years ago.
How did that work out, checking it through at security, by the way, when you were flying home?
I didn't find out. I put it in a bag in the rally car, and I'll see it in about 2 months' time.
Of course, coming back sea freight with all the equipment. So that brings the end to your adventures for this year, other than obviously your jollies. Now, you are back in the UK, I assume, this time next week.
I am, yep. Yeah. Not quite the end to it, because we have the Christmas Stages rally.
Oh,
so I'm on the
wheel of
Subaru for the Christmas Stages rally. So not quite.
Is Gemma sitting in with you?
She is, yeah, yeah. Gemma sort of forced me to put an entry. Oh, actually, Gemma, I think, even put the entry in. She twisted me arm that hard. So yeah, we're gonna wheel the Subaru out for that.
I put my CV in for that as well for you, mate. I put my CV in. Can't believe that you've ousted me in favour of your wife. Still, it's all right, it's not a problem. Did we manage to get a car for our World Rallycross friend, though?
Not as yet. I have to say, I haven't been at home to spend much time thinking about that one. But we'll see if that we can do anything with that idea once I get back to dry land, as it were.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I might come up for the Christmas stage. I might come on up and have a what? Is it on the 26th?
Yeah, something like that. No, it won't be the 26th, but I would guess it's the 27th or the 28th. But 27th, Mike Co-driver shouting at me in the background.
Welcome to Absolute Rally, Gemma Champion. Right.
But it already looks like a good entry with Kevin Proctor there in his Impreza World Rally Car, Steve Perez in his Focus, there's Tony Bardi in another Focus World Rally Car. So yeah, already looks like quite a strong entry. There's usually a couple of 6R4s as well, so it'll be a good day. So, good days, actually.
Got your name on that trophy, Ryan. Got your name on that trophy.
I'm not sure. These World Rally Cars tend to be a little bit quick, Bancroft. It depends. If we have some inclement weather, it's a bit of an equaliser. So,
inclement weather? Where did you learn that?
I'm not sure, but I'm not sure if I want it to be snowy, but it does tend to be a bit of a leveler. So we'll see what the weather does, and it'll be a good fun day anyway.
Good man. Listen, that's the point where you disappear now and go and enjoy the rest of your evening in Dubai. Next up, we're going to have Craig Breen, and Craig and I are going to talk about the Fiesta ST. That's what we're going to do. We're going to talk.
I'm sure you'll have lots to talk about.
Honestly, because when we were on GB, he said to me, he said, I'm going to try and get my old ST back and restore it. And that's where I came up with the term. I said, but we all know when we go back to rally cars like that, it's like Trigger's Brush. I don't know whether you're familiar with that particular, whether you watched Only Fools and Horses at all.
Yes, yeah. Quite familiar with that. Yeah, people use that term for my Subaru all the time, which I think is quite unfair, but absolutely true.
Well, you see, I was about to give you some credibility. No, yours is as original as... is.
Well, it is original, but any rally car that's been rallied for nigh on 20 years obviously has had its fair share of new parts.
Well, and now after Wales Rally GB, genuinely, before it started GB, the car that I picked up from M Sport, the only thing that remained was the wiring loom, the two back lights, and one quarter light rear window. After Wales Rally GB, the only thing that remains now is the rear number plate, and the wiring loom.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So the days of being able to sell it as an XM Sport car, I think they've gone completely out of that broken window. But anyway,
listen. Well, no, you're right. It is XM Sport. So, that still stands.
The number the rear number plate still got the M Sport logo on the bottom of the number plate, and I refuse to change it. Yeah. But you're having a Pro Drive one on yours, I guess.
It has, actually.
Yeah, I thought you might. Listen, mate, we'll catch you up next week. Enjoy your break. You deserve it. And I'll see you soon.
All right. Speak to you soon.
Cheers, right. Tell me.
Thanks. Bye.
Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and trucks. Accompanied or unaccompanied. Team Coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 44 1904 766 787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com.
One thing I wanted to do with Absolute Rally before we finish this season was to doff our caps at, I suppose I'm slightly biased, to my little rally car, the Fiesta ST, which has been spoken about probably more than ever over the last couple of weeks, because it was its final World Rally Championship appearance before the homologation ran out at that level. And I suppose, being a little bit of an anorak, I look back at the history of the car, and where it first came in and when the development first started. Obviously the car came in around 2005, which it was the first release to the public, and it's probably the end of an era in many ways for a Group N car, front wheel drive. Obviously the classifications of cars were now in R categories and things like that, so a conventional Group M front wheel drive car I don't believe we'll see the likes of again. And the drivers that I've drove this car, the likes of Thierry Neuville, Elvin Evans, of course, who we were speaking about at the top of the programme, Craig Breen, and is another one. Now, Craig was one of the drivers who, for me, once I started digging a little bit into the history of the Fiesta ST and what it did in its early years and what drivers have gone on to do things. Craig is probably the most successful driver in terms of championship secured in it. In 2009, Craig secured the British Rally Championship, the FST version in the British Rally Championship. He also secured the Irish equivalent of it, and he also secured the world equivalent of it, which was some going in 2009. And all that in his very, very famous Fiesta ST, which the registration was EX06VXB, which he still has fond memories of, and I think if he had his way he'd probably have it back in his garage now. But first and foremost, I just wanted to have a chat with Craig really and just get his thoughts and memories of I suppose the early days of first driving a Fiesta ST and what's made it such a special car. So without further ado, Craig Breen, welcome back to Absolute Rally.
Hello,
Craig Breen.
Tony, how are you doing?
I'm all right, how are you?
Yeah, not so bad. All is good. Sorry about that.
No, not a problem at all. Not a problem at all. Really do appreciate, obviously, your time and stuff like that. So, honestly, it's not a stress. I've just had a murdersome journey coming up the M6 because I'm in...
Oh, lovely.
I'm living the dream in Cockermouth this evening. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, I don't know yet. I'm going out later on, and then I'm going to see M Sport tomorrow. So,
okay.
It seems very odd, actually. This should be a conversation happening in reverse, really, shouldn't it? I should be at home, and you should be saying things like that to me. But I've got a funny feeling you wouldn't be going there for the same reasons that I'm going there for. So completely unrelated to driving any form of vehicle, let's put it that way. But still, there you go.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, absolutely. I always love coming up here, to be honest with you. But I wanted to grab you because I wanted to kind of, you and I spoke about this when we were on the recce on GB, and we were talking about the ST, and it was this last year in WRC, and it was only when I kind of went away, and I probably should have focused more on my driving, and I wouldn't have stuck mine on its roof, but I went away, and I was thinking about the ST, and I was thinking, there's nobody, and I'm not just saying this because it's you, there's nobody more synonymous with it, in my eyes, than you.
I did spend my fair share of time, I want to be fair.
I just want to say, because I don't know all this off the top of my head. I had to do a little bit of digging around and stuff like that. But you look at, like, 2009, which is when you've... Was that your first kind of proper year? It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, I done two rallies at Grisdale and one other rally at the end of 08. And at the end of 09 was my first year in them.
So, and then you looked at, because you did the FST in the British Championship, and you did the Irish equivalent of it. Didn't you do a couple of WRC rounds as well that year? Was it Portugal and Finland or something like that?
Yeah, they ran a World Championship one as well. That was the FST, I think.
Yeah. And was that all in 2009 as well?
Yeah, all in 09.
See, I thought that was 10. It just shows you, doesn't it? So basically, 2009, the Fiesta ST and Craig Breen were just as one. And again, it's weird, you know, because I can remember you getting like the Super 2 card and things like that, but the image I always think of when I think of you, and don't worry, it's not at night, and I haven't got my eyes closed, but the image I always remember of you is first seeing you in an ST. That's the one that I remember you in.
Yeah, largely for you. You know, I spent a lot of time in that year. A lot of rallies. I can't remember how many exactly, but Genie Mac, pretty much all the year, you know, running around in that thing, and I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
I didn't know this off the top of my head, but did EX06 VXB, was that the same car all year?
Yeah, it was. It came from I don't know who had the car originally. We bought it from a guy called Ewan Evans, who used to run Harry Hunt.
Harry Hunt, yeah,
ran
Ewan.
A couple of SCs, yeah. And it was used by Jarko Nakara in this Colin McRae stage in 08, and he won it. He came over and won rally. That's Fiesta Trophy in UK back when Red Elephant and Alistair Fisher and Johnny Greer and all those guys were doing it, and he won the McRae stages, and then we bought it after that, like I said, did Grisdale, Galloway Hills, and maybe one or two more, and then Galway International in Ireland was my first sort of big rally, and then the following year. So, yeah, we did some amount of rallies in it. The only rally I didn't do in that car was in the Pirelli. I used a different car because I crashed in the Circuit of Ireland, and Pirelli was the weekend after, so we had to rent a car for that one. From Ewan again, I can't remember the that one off the top of my head, but.
I think yeah, I know. I think I know that one as well. By the way, I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I know who owns it now. So
John Armstrong had it at one point. I don't know who owns it now, but John Armstrong did have it at one point.
Right. Okay. Now, again, just going back to the ST, I think it's the modern day equivalent. People, and I know you love your history as well, mate. I love my history, but people always kind of harp on about the 205s and what drivers came through the 205s. Obviously, you know, it goes without saying the likes of, you know, Richard Burns. You know, you look at people like Johnny Milner, who perhaps isn't the first thought that you come to here, but he was there. I think obviously our friend Ryan Champion went through it as well. It hosted a whole host of drivers that, you know, got a world championship or European championships and things like that. But I think probably over the last probably 15 years, the ST has kind of become that car.
Yeah, definitely. You know, when I saw it even before I came along, there was a lot of guys that had proven themselves. I remember back when the Fiesta Trophy, the international one, started, the prize was fantastic. It was it was a full world championship rally in the Focus. I remember that guy, Bettica, Alessandro was, and I think it was Alessandro was his first time. He got to do Corsica one year in a Focus World Car, and obviously he got through to the shootout at the end of the year as well. We won that in 2009 as well. Yeah, it was a great, great proving ground. There was lots of talented people around when I was in it. Probably one of my biggest competitors the year I'd done my stint in the STs was Chris Hall. Unfortunately, Chris doesn't even rally anymore. I still keep in contact with him. But we had some awesome battles, really, really good battles during the year. Definitely learned a lot in a short space of time for very little money in relative terms. So, really, really enjoyed it.
Again, you know, we go back to GB. Obviously, I've had one for 4 years. And, you know, I've proper fall in love with my car. You know, and I told you the story about nearly selling it twice earlier this year. And in the end, I ended up showing the people the door because I just felt really insulted that this little car that I've got so much affinity for was kind of just not being taken seriously. And everybody kind of felt that they weren't fast enough. And genuinely, funnily enough, Chris Hall's name came up in one of those conversations, because Chris managed to get one, I think it was the fifth overall on Mull, which, you know, for the guys who are abroad listening to this, Mull is just this, you can't even put into words, it's like Corsica times 10 with the number of corners. And, you know, to get a little Group N Fiesta to fifth overall on something like that was just outstanding.
Yeah, no, there were some massive joint killing results. I can remember back when we were driving it, we were doing some, you know, national rallies, and I remember back in Ireland, Galway International won. I remember Galway International, we finished 10th overall, and that was obviously, as I said, an international rally under the Tarmac Championship, you know, World Rally cars, Group N cars, 2000 cars, everything in that. And then I'm trying to think where did we go to Circuit of Ireland. I remember Circuit of Ireland 2009, we led Group N overall.
Wow.
We either led it or were damn close to leading it, and I made an absolute hope for them trying to win it on the second day of the rally in the fog. But those are the kind of joint killing things that you can do with it. And I remember speaking with Scott, because you can't forget that Scott Martin, my co-driver, he spent a fair bit of time in an ST as well with Barry Clark.
Of course,
He kind of done it the wrong way around. He started his career as Focus and then went back to an
ST.
And we rave about him. We always say it was the fastest car to ever go downhill. If you can get a hill, go, you know, get a point the right way heading down and get it wound up, it's one of the fastest cars you'd ever drive, because the tempers were so good for, you know, for a Group N small front wheel drive car. It was just simply awesome, especially on bumpy, narrow Irish tarmac in particular. It was a really, really good car on 17-inch wheels, which was quite strange, let's say, for a small cup car to have it on big wheels. But it made it quite stable, and just loved it. Really, really loved it.
If there's no more of it in WRC, and what was really nice, and you had your own things going on Wales Rally GB, but there was four or five of us out doing the international, and at the end of the first day, I was dicing with the lad. There was 2.2 seconds between us. We were 44th and 45th overall at the end of the first day. And there was this whole host of bigger machinery, shall we say, behind. There was an R5 behind us without super rallying. There was an M15 Subaru. There was a few things behind us. And a couple of guys came over to us from M Sport and went, fair play. We didn't think it could still do it. And I said, well, it's definitely the car. It's definitely not the drivers, trust me. But I think it just reminds everybody that for a very simple little package, it can go out and still do it.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's. I remember the couple of World Championship rallies that we did, and we were right up there. I can actually remember. I forgot about this. Turkey, 2010. In 2010, I'd moved on to the 2000 car, but I went back and I got a really, really, really good deal to go and do Turkey in an ST, probably for cheaper than it would have cost to do the recce. And in theory, we were thinking, you know, this is a good way to go and learn the rally. You know, do the recce and get to drive it as well. So I did it with that Castrol team, Turkey, and they had, I think it was 10 or 12 STs out there. But we got up to 18th or 17th overall in the World Championship rally in Turkey. And now in fairness, it was down to, I would say, pure ignorance rather than speed. It was a really, really rough rally. I wasn't in any championship, and I just wanted to go for as hard as I could for as long as a little ST would last for, and eventually a wheel fell off it. And that's the only way you could describe it. A wheel fell off the wagon because it was just simply too rough. We were going too hard, and the whole thing fell off. But I remember we were setting, I don't know if we got a fastest JWRC time, but we were in and around the front runners in JWRC. In fact, I remember my teammate from last year, Kevin Abring, was in a Clio, but we were dicing with all those guys in the ST, and like you were saying, no one really expects it. You know, the car pulls up to the start line, you can barely hear the thing ticking over. It's so quiet, and it takes off and it makes a little buzzing noise up the road, and everyone is kind of laughing and smirking. But by God, when you get it wound up and keep it wound up, which was the key, it was a serious little piece of kit.
What do you think the secret was behind them? Because I know I don't think we're going to see anything like that anymore. I don't think we're going to see little rally cars built like that anymore.
It was so drivable. Really, really drivable engine. One of the best gearboxes that I've ever driven in any other car. And I've often said it took me a long time to convince myself that a sequential gearbox was better than the gearbox in the ST, because it was so simple. I used to love on tarmac, but this is, again, pure ignorance. Been able to go from fifth to third to first, stopping it on its nose on tarmac. I'd say my mechanics are cringing at the thought, thinking that that's what I was up to back then. But I used to love it. Really, really easy to drive. The engine, you always had a bit of torque. There was no, it wasn't a cami engine. You know, generally speaking, you had a good torque band from all angles, and the dampers were really, really good, really simple to work with. The clicks and stuff were really effective. You could make changes to the car quite easily, and confidence, that was the biggest thing. I just felt so confident when I was driving it. So it was, yeah, really, really good memory. Even talking about it now, I can remember all the great times that we had in the car, and just so simple to just truck it about and have a bit of fun. So really good.
Well, as the man who's probably the most successful man to drive a Fiesta ST, let me ask you this question. To use the clutch or not use the clutch? That is the question.
Don't. Leave it alone. Don't touch it.
Really?
Get her off the line. Get her, get her dancing, and then don't even look at it again. Sometimes, first to second, I used to clutch it, but from then on, no. Don't touch it.
Wow.
Brilliant. And such a little, it's so simple. It's one of the most positive boxes I've ever driven. Definitely the dog box. One of the most positive and most simple boxes to use. Really, really, really simple. And like I said, you could go that fifth to third to first on tarmac. I used to feel like Carlos Sainz. I used to watch the onboard of him years ago when he was driving the 555 car, the Group A car, and he could just bang it down. I used to watch him go and he used to just go sixth, and he used to go fifth, third, first every time. And I used to feel really cool when I landed down into my junction in the SC, and I used to give the fifth, third, first thing myself and skip fourth and second. So it used to make me feel really cool. But I never used to use the clutch. Like I said, just off the line and then first to second on gravel. Tarmac, he didn't really need to do it.
I want
to drive one again. The more I talk about it, I want to drive one again. I've missed it so much. Actually, I know where my old car is. There's a guy driving the Forestry Championship back at home in Ireland. I'm so tempted to see if I can buy it back again. I loved it.
We had this conversation. Now it is the Trigger's brush, isn't it? That's the problem. Is it just the registration number that remains? Because even Ryan said before, we had Ryan talking about his he's going to do the Christmas stages in his Subaru. Obviously, you know all about Ryan's car, and I mentioned the Trigger's brush, and he went, "Yeah, but it's still got the Pro Drive number plates."
Right. So is it like Trigger's brush has got the same bristles?
That's pretty much it. But mate, whenever you're over here and you want to drive an ST, mine's always there for you. Don't worry. Just let me know when you want to have a go, and you can come and have a play in it anytime you like.
All right. Megan. And a little tip for you: if you're driving on bumpy tarmac, gravel springs in the tarmac damper, and if you're driving on really, really, really small gravel, tarmac springs in the gravel damper. And she walks a dream.
You see, I've only got the general dampers. I haven't got different dampers. All I've got is different springs.
Oh, well, there you go. Maybe I was quite privileged, and I didn't realise that. I thought that was I thought there was just a tarmac and a gravel one. You couldn't use the same on both.
No, you could use the same damper, or you can use the same damper, and all you do is swap the springs out.
All right, I didn't know that. I know you could. Are you on tarmac plus pads?
Oh yeah, they were mega. Jeez, you can pull your fillings out with those things. I forgot
all about them. They done my first couple of rallies in tarmac, and then the tarmac plus came along, and gee whiz, like you said, stuff on its nose. Yeah, yeah. Simple little thing. I'd forgotten all about it. Yeah, I missed my little ST.
But you've got to get one, mate. Apparently, there's a new Fiesta ST Championship next year. Maybe. Now, I don't know what you've got in your diary for next year yet, and we'll ask you about that in a second, but there's a new ST Championship. I'd fancy your chances in that, mate, to be honest. I'd fancy your chances.
it could be an option. another funny story about the ST. Does your key have a fob on it? Have the immobiliser cylinder?
We haven't got the immobile. It's got still got the central locking, which always surprises me because mine was an M Sport car, and it's got weird little intricacies, should we say, where you think, I thought that would have been taken out, and it blatantly wasn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, my one still had the immobiliser, and I rolled it. Me and Jeff Laudermore, we rolled them down in the Isle of Man in that Kringle stage 1 year, and when it wasn't a big accident at all. We just rolled into a ditch, very, very low speed. And when I was getting out, I kicked the key with my knee, and I broke the immobiliser off the end of the key. So when we got the car turned back over again, we couldn't switch it on. It simply couldn't turn it back on again. And I remember we put a brand new engine. It was a Mount Tune engine. We got this blueprinted Mount Tune engine, like it was absolutely, you know, the bees whiskers, brand new for this event. And it's got to turn back over again. Couldn't get it started, but most frustrating thing in the world. So I remember we got into a field and we got a tractor, because I was trying to push start it, jump start it in first gear, and every time I let the clutch out, you know, I used to run, the guys pushing the car used to run out of steam. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, push it faster. You know, I was in third gear, drop out the clutch. The minute I drop out the clutch, the whole thing would stop. I was like, you're not pushing it fast enough, get the Jeep. So I put the tone eye on and got the Jeep, and you know, gave the guy the go ahead in the Jeep. He pulled it along, and I dropped the clutch, and there was a massive bang. Uh-oh, that doesn't sound very good. So I stopped, and he opened the bonnet, and I was quite naive, mechanically wise, at the time, and I remember looking down on the end of the sump car, and there was a piece of cast steel, and I had 2.0L. I was like, what does 2.0L mean? I was like, what? Come off him. I was like, have I broken a bracket? You know, is there a bracket that's broken? And I remember I had it out, and it was covered in oil, like, and I remember showing it to Jeff, and I'm like, Jeff, what's that? He's like, 2 litre, you idiot. It's off the side of the block. You just shattered. The engine's just shattered, Jeff. I'm like, oh, no. And what had happened was it was hydraulics, because the car had been on its roof so long, all the oil leaked into the top of the head. And when we turned it back over again, we should have taken the plugs out and, you know, turned it over to get the oil out of the top of the head. But being the young, naive, enthusiastic kid I was, I wanted to get back born again, and I destroyed my brand new mountain shoot engine, and we put an engine out of a scrapyard back into it again, and we won the championship with an engine out of a scrapyard. So, there you go.
I have a very similar story about my ST engine. Right, I got I threw the timing chain off mine on Jim Clark in 2012. The year I actually won the Fiesta Championship for what it was worth in 2012. But the only non-scorer I had was Jim Clark, and I managed to throw the chain off coming down the box on that long, long straight where you go in and out of the farmer's yard. I don't know if you remember it at all. Where it's like square left in, and then you go kind of go through the yard and then come back out. And as I was flat in fifth going all the way along there, and I went bang, fourth, third, and then it just went bang, and that was it, nothing. And I bought a brand new engine. M Sport had a brand new 2 litre Duratec engine in a crate for some reason, and I bought it, and we put it in, and it was all right. I thought, it's a brand new engine, it's going to be fine, but it seemed to use quite a bit of oil, and we couldn't quite understand why. It's a brand new engine. Anyway, long story short, we got sick of putting oil in, and I bought a shell for spares, and it had 120,000 mile engine in it. And I said, let's just try this engine, let's just see how much oil this one used. We'll do a rally with this engine and see how we go. That engine's still in 18 months later.
Well, there you go. Maybe that's the key to a good SD Fiesta, get an engine with a scrapyard in.
Well, whether you ever remember the tales about drive shafts, people always used to say to me about drive shafts, get high mileage drive shafts, just put them on for a rally and then throw them.
we didn't have that much, but the first rally I ever done, one of the first rallies I done, Malcolm Wilson, had a shaft break on that, but other than that, it was tip top. Other than me breaking it through an accident or something like that, but in regards to reliability wise, it was really good.
I'll be honest with you, my eyes are watering thinking about your gearbox bills, though, not using the clutch and going from fifth to third to first. I'm just imagining how many dog rings you went through in a season in first gears.
I was a bit rough. I did have a bit of reputation there.
I can imagine. Well, listen, I wanted to talk to you about this, but I also wanted to talk to you. Are we going to see you in a Fiesta again anytime soon?
You never know. You never know.
Okay. All right, fair deal.
I'm not 100% sure what's going to happen or where I'm going to be or what I'm going to be doing, but I'm not ruling anything out at the minute, put it that way.
Okay. I know Jules, he was on the programme last week, and Jules, he stretched his legs, and we just gave him an hour and just pressed go and let him go, so to speak.
Yeah.
And we had some questions in with regards to, you know, where do you see Craig Breen in 5 years' time, which I thought was a great question. And Jules was adamant that you were going to be there, but he said, oh, you know, I've heard some rumours he was looking at a Skoda deal and things like that, but it's interesting he's trying to go for a world car for next year, but I kind of get it, I kind of understand it, because he can learn the events and things like that. Is it still a world car you're going for, mate?
I wouldn't rule anything out at the minute. There's some various different options and deals and meetings that are going on in the background, and we'd hope to be able to tie something down in the next sort of week, 10 days, so just cross your fingers. I really, really want this to work.
Mate, I've got everything crossed for you. You know that. We've always got everything crossed for you. It could be the DMAC ST Championship in BTRDA next year. That's what I'm thinking, but, you know.
That's what I said. You never know.
Have you, this programme's going out tomorrow, and we've been privileged with some information today, because it was the day before Wednesday, but the new British Rally Championship calendar, we had it 24 hours earlier, so it's now starting off with the mid-Wales stages, as it always was, in fairness. Then it goes Circuit of Ireland.
Best rally in the world, yeah.
Yeah. Pirelli.
Not a great rally, yeah.
Scottish.
Okay, I've done it once before. Rained a lot. Anyway, go on.
You won't guess this one, mate, in a million years. The Nicky Griss stages.
Nicky Griss stages. I've done that one before. Yeah, done that with my first rally back after the accident.
Is the twist to it, on day one, it will follow BTRDA 45-mile gravel event. So everyone will be mixed in. Everybody will be doing the same rally. Day two of the rally, they go to Epping. So it's a mix of tarmac and gravel. So when BTRDA finish it Saturday night, the BRC crews will go over to Epping and set up there and change over the specifications of the car.
Wait, is it full tarmac? So it's full tarmac the second day?
Second day, full tarmac on Epping.
Oh, wow. It's like the old Welsh, like the old farm run years ago. Brilliant.
Yeah.
That would be great. I can't tell anyone until tomorrow then.
No, ideally not, otherwise you'll get lynched. Yeah, don't be putting it out on Twitter. Don't you dare, Craig Breen. You know what? Everything you've just said there was exactly what Ryan said when I read it out to him before, when I did, because I grabbed Ryan for 10 minutes before for a pre-record, and he said exactly the same. Oh, it's exactly like the old one.
Like the old ones years and years ago. They used to start on time, I can go to gravel on. So anyway, no, that's good.
Okay, that's great idea. And then we go to Ulster.
Another great rally, yeah. That one before.
And then the season finale is no longer Granite City.
Oh, thrill me with excitement. The Manx. I put it where it should be. Yeah, brilliant.
The Manx brilliant. Is the final
absolutely
round.
Brilliant.
Double point score. Do you know what? And your reaction was exactly the same as mine. I've been really keen to... You know, I want to support the British Rally Championship in every way I can, and you know, really, I don't want to be kind of down on it. I want to push it and everything else. But just reading out those list of events previously, and I gave Ian Scunner Campbell a little bit of stick about the lack of Manx. As soon as I could read out the Manx, it feels like a proper BRC again.
Yeah, and at the end of the year, and milling rain and fog, and that's where it needs to be.
Yeah, and it's, as you say, it's a proper season finale. The after party will be there. Apparently, Colours isn't open anymore, though, which is always a bit of a...
I heard that quite recently, actually. Yeah, a bit of a shock.
I think they basically they lived on the rally cruises going there once a year.
Yeah, I think that was its highlight. I think that was its big thing every year. So maybe it'll open back up again with this news.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I'm going to let you crack on, mate. And thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your memories as well of the ST. I think it was important to mark a little bit of time of its WRC retirement with the man who probably won more trophies in it than anyone.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Yeah, great memories. And nice to relive them all again. And you never know. Maybe we might get in behind the wheel one again.
Listen, the door to my car is always open, mate. You're over here, my car's available, you can come and do whatever you want in it.
I'll take you up on that. You'd be sorry you said that, no?
As long as you use the clutch.
Never. It's a mortal sin.
Good man. Listen, if I don't speak to you before, have a great Christmas, have a great New Year, and hopefully we'll catch up with you at Autosport or something.
Mega, many happy returns, and look after yourself.
Yeah, look after yourself. Thanks, Craig. Best of luck with all your plans, mate.
Absolute left at wall and absolute king. Absolute king for 200.
This is Absolute Rally with Tony Simpson and Ryan Champion.
And that's the end of another Absolute Rally podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you're enjoying a slightly different format to what we were doing with the live programme. I hope you understand why we've had to do what we've had to do. As I say, technology wasn't really working for us, but the podcast with the guys at Audio Ninja, who put our podcast together for us, it just makes their life possibly a little bit easier and makes the podcast probably sound a little bit better, it has to be said. But we appreciate all the guys who download the podcast, and obviously we still want to hear from you on Twitter. We still love Twitter. Obviously, you know where we live. It's Absolute_Rally. Of course it is. Please get in contact there. Let us know what you think of the programs. Anything you want that perhaps we could put together. And as I say, it's not just WRC, Absolute Rally. We talk about the world of rallying, not just the world of rallying. So, you know, if you've got any thoughts, ideas, people you want to get on, then by all means, we've got a few different bits and pieces that I want to bring to you before we call end to season two of Absolute Rally, which will be a couple of weeks probably before Christmas. And we've got a couple of special programmes coming up. There's a couple of different things we are working on, which may even be a two-part episode. But you'll have to watch this space a little bit on that one. And I don't want to say too much until we've got it all sorted. But I'm really, really excited by a programme that hopefully we'll be allowed to put together. We're just waiting on a little bit of permission on a few things. So stay tuned, as they say, stay tuned. But this week's show, as I say, did you see that news coming with regards to the British Rally Championship? Did you see that calendar change? I didn't, I'll be honest. I knew something was coming about, but as I said during the course of the programme, and as Ryan said, and I suppose even as Gunnar Campbell said, it feels like a proper British Rally Championship again, doesn't it, with the Manx being involved. And even Craig Breen was having fond memories of partying in Colours nightclub, because that's where you went if you won or if you lost on the Manx. And believe you me, I lost quite a few times on there, so I often drown my sorrows in colours. But the final round of the British Rally Championship returning to the very, very special island that is the Isle of Man. But as I say, I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Please spread the word. And we still use the Facebook page as well. By all means, go on to our Facebook page. If you go on to, obviously, facebook.com/Absolute Rally, and you can leave comments on there. Ryan and I put some bits and pieces on there that we find we like, maybe not necessarily conventional news pieces, but a little bit of video or a few images or whatever it may be that we find that we think you might find interesting. But the debate goes on always on social media, on Twitter and on Facebook. Or you can contact me at TonySimpson74 on Twitter as well. By all means, let me know what you think with the programme. But as I say, hope you enjoyed it. Wherever you're listening to, whether you've been in the gym, you're on your way to work, you're going running, you're stuck at an airport, because I know we have a lot of co-drivers that listen to us as well, who tend to be travelling all over the world at this point, finishing off Middle East Championships and American Championships and all these different things. And by all means, guys, drop us a line. You want to come on? Doors are always open. And as I say, thanks for downloading us. Talk to you next week.